Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for any stage in life. I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. I'm here today with two people I've known very well. Susan Lane is joining us. Sharon Dupree is joining us. And today we're talking about kitchens and baths. And you know, here in Aging in Place, we're talking about at any stage in life. So I think the fun thing today to talk about is really designing an efficient kitchen and then a wonderful bathroom. And I think that just by nature will get us into universal design. So I'm really excited that you're here. Before we get started, Susan, I'm going to start with you and then Sharon, you. Talk to us a little bit about your background. And I can say this, Susan, I've known for a long time and comes from a marketing and PR background, and your life's like mine. It's taken a circuitous route to get where you are now. And I think Sharon, as an interior designer, yours has also. I would love to hear a little bit about you.
Well, thank you for having us, Debbie. And my design work has kind of spanned a range of different projects, whether it's residential or commercial, in a lot of different states. But with the universal design concept in mind and the aging in place, we've specialized in that and have tons of good ideas, especially in keeping with the current trends that allows people to be able to kind of transition their properties into what they want them to be to fit their needs for the future or the needs of their other family members that they might be trying to accommodate.
Tell everybody a little bit about your past, because you have had kind of an interesting history.
Oh, well, mostly all things have been, I'll say, marketing related.
Okay.
And anything that revolves around making things look better.
Exactly.
So everything from cosmetology and hairstyling and makeup to being into some product development of cosmetics to remodeling and design work, and anything that makes things pretty, I like to be involved in.
Which is one of the reasons I think you're so successful with the kitchen and baths is that oftentimes when you're designing at any budget for anyone at any time, people think there are limitations, and you both have taught me that there are no limitations. So Sharon, talk to us a little bit about your background.
Well, I've been doing design work for
many years.
So I actually started out in graphic design, and then I kind of made my way into the interior design. I have my degree in interior design, and I really like to focus on the kitchen and bath aspect of it.
Well, let's talk, if we can, a little bit about a good design for kitchens. Who wants to take that one?
I'm on.
Okay, Susie.
With respect to universal design.
Or just design in general.
Well, design in general, obviously it has to be very, very efficient and effective for the family at hand. You know, regardless of budget or regardless of the space that you have to utilize, we always like to spend a lot of time with the client saying, what's your lifestyle and how do you plan to use the space? And then everything has to come off of that.
And really, feel free to jump in here too, because I know that it's really fun. When I'm a client coming in to talk to you, I am barraged with a million questions. What are some of the things that you're curious about when someone actually comes in and asks about doing a kitchen? Some of the questions that you do want to know?
Well, we always want to make sure that they have an idea of what their main objective is.
Okay.
For, you know, who's going to be using this kitchen? How do they want to use it? Where, you know, where of their components do they want are the most important.
Okay, so let me say this. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. And you know this, Susan. I mean, I have a multi-generational family. So I've got a 2-year-old that's here quite a bit. I've got a 91-year-old who's my dad is living with me. And in the process, and you guys have actually helped me on redesigning my kitchen when we got flooded, talking about some of the things that were that were important because I had different people of different ages in the kitchen.
It's very important to make sure you have adequate variances of heights so that different people can use different spaces. It's absolutely necessary to have places for people to sit down to be able to utilize work in the kitchen. It's very important to have a certain amount of distance between cabinets and appliances and spaces in case you have people with walkers or with wheelchairs. And we like to make sure people understand that it's really about servicing and functioning everybody, and then we can pretty it up to the degree that we need to make it aesthetically very, very pleasing. But think of the areas, maybe the 4 areas in the kitchen that you're going to use the most, and then you can focus on those in terms of who's going to be using them and to make them very, very serviceable.
So what are the 4 areas I'm going to use the most?
Well, you know, specifically you get people who have to be able to get up really, really close to a sink,
okay,
for instance.
All right. All right.
So you can design a sink bottom that's virtually not there. So that if somebody does have to get really close to it or have a wheelchair underneath it, you can sit there and you can do the dishes and you can run your water. And then we can advise as to what faucet is the easiest for them to be able to turn on.
What are good faucets?
Well, you want to have a touchless faucet or one with a single lever so that it's an ease. You want to make sure that your kitchen has an ease and functionality for everyone that's going to be using it.
Okay.
So whether they're 2 or 91, they can use the faucet hands-free or...
Brilliant.
You know,
well, it's funny because I'm thinking about Clementine, even with an open area, I could put a footstool underneath so she could get up. Because I know it's always a challenge to wash your hand when you're a little person.
Yeah. Microwaves are very, very important. Mm-hmm. Who lives without a microwave these days? And if you put them at the right height, anyone can use them, even a small child. Mm-hmm. And you want to position them shoulder height or lower so that they can get in and out of them without spilling things on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that
they're...
And the dishwasher. Tell me about the dishwasher.
Dishwasher drawers are great. They're easy for everyone. So when they're at a really nice height, same with the microwave. You can keep the microwave, smaller. You also want to have the cooktop, the ranges, anything like that, you want to have the knobs accessible. So you don't want to have to reach to the back.
Okay, that makes sense.
So refrigerator, you side-by-side refrigerator because it's difficult to pull out the bottom drawer for the little ones as well as, people that have a little bit of difficulty pulling things.
Because you specialize in kitchens and baths and your expertise is in designing them and actually, whether it's a renovation or a new house, getting them built, is there a design that is sort of the most functional way to position things in a kitchen? I'm not saying that
well,
very eloquently.
Well, I talked about a triangle.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
You want to do a triangle.
Okay, yes.
But you also want to try to have 48 to 60 inches of clearance so that if there is a wheelchair that has to be able to maneuver around the kitchen, you want to be able to spin it with a clearance. So, 48 to 60 inches is typically.
What's really interesting, you're talking about universal design, is I learned this not so long ago, was that spinning a wheelchair and spinning a baby stroller, it's the same
radius.
Yeah,
right.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So that does make sense. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, and you want to have, like Susan said, varying heights so that it's easy for people if they do need to pull up to a space, a workspace, they can easily get in and out of it. Also, switches and outlets lower. So, and another thing is efficient lighting. So if you can have automatic lighting, say in a bathroom, so if you're wheeling or if you're walking into a bathroom during the night, if you have an automatic light that comes on, even the ones that the new fancy toilets now, they have lights on them. It's easier.
It makes it more efficient. It really does. Let's talk general. What are you seeing trending these days in kitchens? Is there a focus on sort of accessibility for everyone? Is it about color? Is it about ease of use?
Well, a layout, like Sharon said, you know, essentially a triangle, which may become a quadrangle or more, depending on how many functional appliances you want to see in your space, because everybody does add the microwave and maybe their beverage cooler, their beverage refrigerator is also important. Layout is certainly a number one thing. We're still seeing, as we have over the last many years, that the white kitchen is still the most popular.
Exactly.
You know, we're adding a little pop of color every now and then, or maybe you're combining the white with the gray or blues. Blues are very, very popular.
Oh, I see that. I saw the new, I think it was Aga Range that was like the bright blue. It was so cool. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk more about kitchens and baths, universal design, what's popular, what's trending, and how to make it all the best for you. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place. We are here with Susan Lane and with Sharon Dupree, and we're having a lot of fun. Of course, I just shushed them and told them they had to stop because we're talking about, you're giving me all the good stuff before we start recording again. And it really is fun and it's interesting. We've been talking a lot about kitchens and there's so much to share with that. We want to talk about materials. I want to jump really quickly in this segment so we don't forget it. To bathrooms, because bathrooms are a place that are, from what I understand, again, with having grandchildren and then having a father who's 91, it's like the coolest place in the world and the ultimate hazardous place. So Sharon, talk to me a little bit, if you will, about keeping your bathroom safe or what's cool and new in bathrooms.
Well, a lot of people are taking out bathtubs and they're doing a walk-in shower, curbless shower, non-slip flooring. Grab bars is huge,
yes.
But they can make them hidden so that they are actually, you know, safe. So you can grab onto, say, a soap dish, but it's actually a grab bar. So there's a lot of ways to make it look really pretty without it feeling, you know, like a hospital.
Exactly. It's funny. I saw a toilet paper holder the other day. I think it was in, a Kohler. And it looked like a regular toilet paper holder, but it was actually a grab bar. So it was studded in the wall and it was such a good idea, you know, for someone who might use it as leverage to get out,
Comfort height toilets. The same thing with the, you know, the lever faucet. And we had talked before about cabinetry with your hardware on your cabinetry. You want to make sure, you know, you want to either have a push door that it just pops open or...
What are options for cabinetry?
A handle. You don't want to have something that you can catch, say, your sweater or your robe on. You want to be able to grab onto it.
Would a cup hook handle be a good option?
If they're large enough.
Okay.
You want to make sure that they're large enough. Especially for, because eyesight, you know, comes into play. So you want to make sure that the hardware or anything is, you know, that they can see it, especially at night.
Yeah. And again, you were talking about lighting being a really pivotal issue for wayfinding.
Yeah, and under cabinet lighting. Susan had talked about, you know, being able to have the space below the sinks open. So, and you also, the lower height countertop. A lot of people will do a countertop that has an edge on it for, again, for, you know, poor sight so that you can see where the edge of the countertop is.
I
don't
want to
have any sharp corners, so more rounded corners.
So what are people really wanting these days? You said less about the bathtubs, and I don't care at what age you are. It's more, what about drains sloping down? Are you seeing, is that a big issue? Not issue, but a big consideration now.
That's the ideal if you're in a situation where you can create a shower where you have all the water just gently sloping towards the drain so that you can get away from having any curb at all and still have all the water containment inside the shower. That's a perfect thing. It's not always possible, but it's certainly worth aiming for. And that's another reason they'll sometimes situate drains towards the back of the shower to keep all of the water and the moisture from getting anywhere that's outside the door, which obviously creates a hazard.
From a design point of view, more and more I'm hearing about wet areas versus dry mm-hmm. areas. Can you share with us a little bit about what that actually looks like and means for us practically?
Well, we definitely want to keep the dry areas from becoming wet areas. And that goes to shower design. And if you have the space, and sometimes, as Sharon mentioned, clients, 50, 60, maybe more percentage of the time now, they want to actually eliminate the tub altogether. And then that gives you enough space to be able to do a nice size shower.
Okay.
And perhaps you can even capture a little bit more space so that you can have a curbless shower that you could, if you needed to, even get a wheelchair in there or a walker.
What does that mean, curbless shower?
Meaning it's a zero threshold. There's no lip there.
Okay.
But that also means you have to pay particular attention as to where you place your faucet, your hardware in the shower, and where that overspray is going to go.
Are you doing a lot with handheld as well as
station? Yes. And you definitely want to have, even a bench in there.
Okay.
So that you can, they can sit on. You want to have a handheld. Uh-huh. It helps, not only when
your little baby bottoms, right?
Exactly. Or even cleaning, to clean. It just makes it a lot easier.
What about water closets? Are people wanting exposed toilets, more privacy? Are you seeing any difference in that now? Because I know when I first started design, it was just basically shower, sink, toilet, go away, bedroom.
Right.
But now a lot of compartmentalized.
It's always an ideal thing if you can have a water closet and you have that privacy, but it's not always feasible either because you're limited in space or you just can't manipulate yourself to get into there and then close the door behind mm-hmm. you. Uh-huh. And if you do have enough footage to be able to do that and you want to have that that privacy, do a sliding type of a door. Mm-hmm. For instance, the barn doors that are now very, very popular. Mm-hmm. Or we see a lot of pocket doors, which are a little bit better option because it's not always feasible to get close to that door, open it, close it back, et cetera, but then you can still have some privacy.
Right. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. When you're talking about sinks, again, are you seeing more double sinks? Are you seeing mm-hmm. square, oval? What's kind of the flavor of some of these bathrooms you're seeing?
In master bathrooms, we always still like to advise people to have dual sinks. That's just kind of the expected in the norm.
Okay.
In certain style housing or certain housing of a certain price range, we'll say, or square footage. If you do have someone or if you think and you're projecting down the road in the future, if one of those sinks can be a pedestal sink that makes it really, really accessible or a floating vanity that just comes off the wall, it makes a lot of sense looking forward. And then you can always have the second sink as one that's got a lot of storage underneath it.
Now, I know one of the things you guys are really well known for is helping people kind of buy a house, create it, knowing where to put the dollars, mm-hmm. and then being able to make it really a great home for resale. In other words, you're good at personalizing it so that I love it, but also making it good so that someone else will love it. What are some of the things that you think are important when it comes to building and creating what you love, but also making it something that someone else would really think is great too?
A lot of that's going to come into play with respect to the materials that you choose. And the materials can be very, very important for safety also in a tight bathroom situation. Like you mentioned, they can be dangerous spaces. So there's a lot of good options in terms of non-slip flooring.
Okay.
Although they're nice looking and can be like the larger format porcelain tiles
that are
gorgeous, that absolutely still have enough texture on them so that if you're using them on a bathroom floor, they're non-slip. Virtually.
Okay.
And then you can go inside the shower with a much smaller version of that tile so that you have some grout lines, which actually does give you a lot of traction and a lot of safety. And then oftentimes in the same suite of tile, they'll make the same version in a slicker finish that's applicable to put on the walls.
Oh, that makes sense.
So you can get a beautiful, very, very non-industrial looking bathroom And then add all of your towel bars, maybe at a lower height or maybe stacked heights, and add your toilet paper holder that actually becomes a grab bar also.
Exactly.
And they're beautiful these days, and they have such nice finishes on them. You can get them in any finish that you desire, whether it's chrome or brushed or gold, isn't there? That's very popular. And it can look, there's no reason anybody has to go into the room and say, oh, this is an old person's bathroom, or
right.
this looks like it should
right.
be in a hospital.
Exactly.
It can be absolutely stunning and
what
stylish.
What about cool bathroom countertops? What are you seeing in there? And I'm going to go back to kitchen in our last segment too, because I want to talk about materials there.
We're still seeing quartz being the most popular surface out there.
Why is that?
It is so, it's an absolute smooth surface, as you know, so it's very, very easy to clean.
Okay.
There's no grout involved. There's no real stone or porosity in the quartz that you have to worry about them being or getting germy or stained, either way.
Okay.
So they're very, very easy to clean. They literally last forever. They just can almost not be destroyed, and they're non-porous surfaces.
This is cool. It's really interesting. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to pick up where we started in the first segment. We're going to go back and talk about kitchen cabinetry, if we can, and some countertop options. And again, what's trending for all of us. Stay with us. There's more to come on Aging in Place.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host Debbie Lines and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place again with Sharon Dupree. We're with Susan Lane, and we're going to just jump right into this. One of the things you said again during the break, we cannot forget anti-scald valves. I've never even heard of that. Mm-hmm. Help me.
Well, you know, that would really, it's hard, especially for little ones, as well, anybody.
Right, me.
So, and you just don't know. I mean, it can get really, 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 hot. So you just want to make sure that nobody's going to get hurt.
Okay.
If somebody does slip and fall in the bathroom, you know, you don't want that water, if the
scalding
water temperature changes, you don't want anybody getting hurt.
So how do you do that? Do you get an actually anti-scald valve? Do you set it on your water heater?
Typically, your water heater can be set at a specific temperature.
Got it.
Not everybody knows that. Therefore, that's where it comes into play, that you just really don't know how hot that water can get. But the valve itself, the plumber can install either at your sink or at your shower. Yeah.
That makes so much sense. Let's move on into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about countertop options that you're seeing. Again, we talked about quartz being super popular in the bath. Are you finding that people are stepping out, or are we doing a lot of quartz? Are we doing quartz countertops and quartz backsplashes or accents? What are you seeing?
I think we're still in keeping with a lot of the quartz.
Okay. The white on white.
People are keeping it light and just refreshing with that marble look.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the quartz has that now. We're not really seeing a whole lot of the quartz full height backsplash.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
More, I think that's where people kind of are turning to give the kitchen a little pizzazz.
Are you seeing a lot of bright jewel tone colors, some of the pastels, or is it all over the board? I know blue.
Yeah, people are really keeping with the white and gray, you know, kind of just basic, simple, timeless.
Well, from a cabinet point of view, what are you finding is new on the horizon? And can you share with me different kinds of cabinet material? Because when I think of cabinets, I know people think of, when cost is no object, solid wood. But there are also a lot of other options available. What are some of those?
Well, we like to stick with, you know, try to tell people to, you know, the all wood cabinetry is great, you know, especially for the cabinet box itself.
Okay.
The doors, I guess with the humidity changes and such, when you have the wood, it contract.
Sure.
So we don't really stick with the wood doors so much, but there's so many different options out there now. There's, you know,
What is that?
Thermofoil.
Okay. And what is that?
Thermofoil is going to be, I mean, literally it's a petroleum-based product versus wood, but they can attach it to a composite that makes it a very solid door that's not even susceptible to, like Sharon just mentioned, humidity or flexing at all. It can look exactly like a wood door. It can have some of the sexy finishes on it that you're seeing now that can look like exotic wood tones.
Ooh,
they
I
can
love
be
that.
High-gloss acrylics, or they can look like the thermofoil of old, I guess, that we're used to seeing around for a couple decades now was your white thermofoil. And of course it had maybe the cathedral door style,
upper door style.
Uh-huh. Okay. And those were around for a long, long time. And of course they all started peeling and delaminating and turning yellow, but they have perfected that particular vinyl type of product, much like they have, everybody knows about the vinyl type of flooring now that's so popular, luxury vinyl flooring. So they have the same option really that's very similar, that you can do a lot of good, excellent door styles and door aesthetic looks with
in
the same vein. And then
it
clean up like a breeze because you just have to wipe them, and there is no
worried about
keeping that wood beautiful, fresh, perfect, or chipping off the paint.
Right. Are you seeing a lot of kind of funky door styles? Because for a long time here in the Low Country, at least, and I know we're national, it was a lot of kind of the shaker style, beadboard, whatever you want to call it.
That really still is the most popular. Slab doors are very, very popular.
What is that? What's a slab door?
Just literally a flat fronted door.
Okay.
So no profile to it whatsoever. Although the shaker style that you just mentioned, where you have the two rails and two styles with the recessed center panel, are still very, very popular. But the slab doors, especially if someone's looking for more of a modern look, as well as the ease of cleanup, a slab door you just can't beat. And then you put a nice piece of hardware on there that's large enough and styled right, and they're very easy for anybody to be able to grasp onto and open or close.
How do you feel about islands now? Are islands now more for eating? Are they for prepping? Are they for both? Because I think back to when we first talked and we were talking about getting an island or an eating spot that had different levels, where Clementine could pull up a little chair and my dad could wheel his wheelchair under, and yet I could have stools around the other side.
Islands can be absolutely anything you want to design, depending on the space that you have. There really is no limitations there at all, because essentially it's just different cabinet boxes or open spaces put together. Oh. So whatever space that you have in your mind, that's the easiest thing that you can do to customize to make sure it's going to exactly fit your family's needs, without getting into any major expense. As soon as you say the word custom, I know it scares some people and you think, whoa, whoa, big, big dollars. But it really doesn't have to be that way, because there's so many different ways you can put cabinetry boxes together on the floor to create an island. And we've often even used wall cabinets on the floor to get the look that we want. And it's not to say all of the cabinets have to have doors on them. Some of them can be open spaces. They can be pull out drawers. You can put your microwave down there under the cabinet, under the countertop on an island. And we always like to do them visually, if you do have the space, different heights. Just gives you so much more
interest.
Room to play with them and interest and make them pretty as well as functional.
Yeah. I tell you, my favorite thing was when Mike built our island and put it on wheels. And I never thought about that as being an amazing thing. But when I had all the kids for the holidays, I could literally move my island around to accommodate the number of people we had. And I thought, gosh, that's such an easy fix for something that I never even would have thought about.
Your island rocks. That
yeah,
was absolutely
I really like it.
That's
a
perfect
one.
Perfect
it's just
example.
An old, right. It's just an old slab of a tree and then just kind
gorgeous.
Of open. I really like it. So I don't think
great.
That's what I said I really love about you guys is the two of you from designers, as designers, when cost is no object, you're amazing. when cost is an object, you're amazing. And I challenge anybody to be able to tell which is the expensive area and which is not. That's part of the gift. What are some unusual countertops that you are seeing? We talked about the quartz, but I do want to go, they have the glass countertops now. Are you doing any cement? Are you accenting with wood or copper or any other kind of materials?
Wood still continues to be probably a great second surface that people want to see in the kitchen. Some of our kitchens, fortunately, that we get to do are very, very large, and you can only get visually so much of the same material in there without looking very, very boring. And you want something to break it up. So especially if you have an opportunity to use a really beautiful wood piece on an island, that's an ideal situation, without a doubt. Sometimes you'll get into some beautiful stones, and you send some of your clients out to the stone yard. Even though they know they're looking for quartz and they want it to be light, they'll find a unique piece that we can easily incorporate into an island, which is always fun. But probably the second beyond quartz is a wood top.
Oh,
and some of the some of the woods are exotic, and they can be absolutely beautiful and customized to fit your needs in any thickness, any width, any height.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. And the more we talk, the more questions I have. We didn't even get a chance to talk about storage, because I know that could be a huge issue too. And something, pantries. Oh my gosh, so much to talk about.
Yes.
So you've got to come back and talk to us again. Sharon, thank you. And Susie, thank you so much for joining us here on Aging in Place for any stage in life. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Backpack to go pack. If you only had 30 minutes to leave your home and you could only take what you needed, what would it be? Tornadoes, hurricanes, or other dangers where your family may have to evacuate, gathering what means the most, plus trying to leave safely and quickly, can lead to more stressful situation. This tip involves everyone in your household. Give each member in your house their own backpack. Make a time limit, whether it is 1 hour or even 1 week, which is what I did, so there wasn't any pressure on anyone. In that week, everyone would pack what they might need or what they think is important. This might be a copy of your wills to a favorite toy or book. Let each child pack their own backpack. No questions asked. At the end of the week, order a pizza and everyone shares the contents of their backpack and explains why they packed it in their bag. Things can be added. Things can be removed. What you might think was important may be not so much to them. Add a card with a meeting area, phone numbers, and pertinent information. Each member is responsible for their bag. Store them under their beds. Store them in a closet. Another perk is that if it's important, they will always know where they can find it. Be safe and remember, material things can always be replaced, so backpack you and your family out of there. Who knew?
What a fun show we had today with Susan Lane and Sharon Dupuis talking about bathrooms and kitchens. And of course, we have to have a takeaway. Here is the takeaway. Any age, any stage in life, design your kitchen and your bath with your own personal lifestyle in mind. It can be designed universally at any stage in life. Thanks for joining us here on the Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to Debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at PR@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.